Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know His blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace reaches me, and 'twill last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace reaches me. Higher than the mountains and brighter than the sun, offered at Calvary of treasures, and it's mine today. Though my sins were as scarlet, He has washed them away. His grace reaches me, yes, His grace reaches me, and 'twill last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace reaches me.
Okay, Jim, I owe you dinner. Thank you all for being here, and this opportunity that Alan presents to me periodically, I am totally indebted to him, and his family, because I have relationships that goes back with his family for many years before I knew Alan even existed, with his sister who departed not long ago. But I am truly blessed, and I thank God for you, all of you. And I especially thank God for Mikey and Alan, because of the stalwart friends they've been for these many years. What I wanted to do today was to look at grief and how God wants us to deal with grief. Grief is something all of us will encounter and work our way through, or allow it to overtake us. And it's important that we go to the Lord, because one of the things that happens with grief, you only grieve the things you love. You grieve the loss of the things you love. And the natural order of things says that you thank God for whatever it is you're grieving about, because you only love, and those things that you love, God provided. So you thank God for that gift. And then you thank God for the capacity to grieve that gift. So I wanted to look at what the Bible speaks about in terms of grief. It's grief itself is the simplest form, is suffering through a loss, someone or something we placed a value on. We only grieve those things that we place a value on and their loss. We grieve or cry for the loss of something we placed a great value on. Grief itself is an emotion common to the human experience. Everyone who loves something, likes something, or become acquainted with something, the loss of that will bring about a grief. And we witness the process of grief throughout the biblical narrative. And I'd like to use a couple of examples from the Bible in terms of those within Scripture who suffered grief and how they handled that grief with God's help. It's a lesson for us in how when we lose something that's dear to us, how does God want us to handle that? How do we show our gratitude to Him for allowing us the capacity of love, to allowing us to be with someone, something, or some endeavor that we love? Because all of which provides an opportunity for grief when it's lost. Multiple Bible characters themselves experienced deep loss throughout Scriptures, suffered sadness and despair. People like Job, Naomi, Hannah, David, even Jesus mourned or grieved. In John 11:35, Matthew 23:27-29, Jesus himself grieved. After Lazarus died, Jesus went to the village of Bethany where he wept. Jesus was grieving. When Jesus saw Martha and the other mourners weeping, he also wept. He was moved by their grief and also by the fact of Lazarus' death. The astounding thing is that even though Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he chose to participate in the sorrow of the situation. See, Jesus, knowing that he was about to raise Lazarus, he saw the suffering of others in grief and joined in that suffering. Jesus truly is our high priest who can sympathize with our grief, Hebrews 4:15. So when we grieve, we know we have the company of Jesus with us. One step in overcoming grief is having the right perspective on it. First, we have to recognize that grief is a natural response to pain and loss. It is a natural response to pain and loss. There's absolutely nothing wrong with mourning a loss. As a matter of fact, it is one of the sincerest forms of our humanity. Second, we know that times of grief serves another purpose. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:2, because it says here, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. This verse implies that grief can be good because it can refresh our perspective on life itself. It gives us a whole new perspective on life. When you lose something that is of value to you, you understand then the gift it was that gifted you that particular person, place, or thing that you've lost. Thirdly, we remember that feelings of grief are temporary. They're within our capacity. The longevity of grief is within our capacity to handle. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So the Bible tells us in Psalms 30:5, weeping may endure for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, which means there is an end to the grief and joy will return. There's an end to mourning. Grief has its purpose, but it has its limit. And we have the capacity to place that limitation for our own self and for those who love us and those who care for us. It becomes imperative that we use the Scripture as a blueprint for handling grief, as opposed to trying to handle it ourselves or do those things and become overpowered by it. It is important that we go to Scripture as Christians and use God's word to move us through the process. Through it all, God is faithful. There are many scriptures that remind us of God's faithfulness in times of mourning and times of trouble. He's with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. So it says in Psalm 23 and 4. When David saw it, he prayed this in Psalm 58 and 8. You have kept count of my tossings, inability to sleep. Please put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? David speaking to God. The touching image of God himself catching the tears is full of meaning. God is there to catch our tears. He sees our grief and does not disregard it, but takes it to heart. Like when Jesus entered into the grief of the mourners in Bethany, God entered into our grief. So remember, when you're grieving the loss of anything, you are never alone. God is with you whether you accept him or reject him. He's there for you. At the same time, he reassures us that all is not lost. We look in Psalms 46 and 10 and says it reminds us to be still. Be still. Stop. Be still and rest in the knowledge that he is God and he loves you. Be still. Sometimes we become so enamored and wrapped up in our grief that we forget that God is an ever-present helper. So be still. There's an extreme calm and peace for us when we become subservient and acknowledge that God is eternal and God loves us. He's all-knowing and just smarter than we are, quite frankly. He actually knows us better than we do. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 says that he's our refuge, place of peace, place of calm, place of protection. He's our fortress. Romans 8, 28 advises us that he works all things together for the good of those he's called. The good of those he's called, that's you, that's me. He works all things for our good. An important part of overcoming grief is expressing it to God himself. Take it to the Lord. Grief is much too large a burden, not a burden, but a load to carry on our own. Take it to the Lord. We as Christians are so blessed to have a place. Imagine for a moment someone not of faith. What do they do with their grief? Usually it becomes a psychiatric situation where they can no longer face life and life is out of control. But for the Christian, we can take it to the Lord and know because he loves us, because he cares about us and wants only the best for us, he will guide us through the process. Book of Psalms contain numerous examples of pouring out one's heart to God. Interestingly, the psalmist never ends where he began. He may start a psalm with expressions of grief, but almost always will end that passage in praise. After we pray, we praise. After we pray for relief, we praise God for whatever he delivers. Whether it's what we want or not, we thank God for it and use it to our best advantage. God understands us. Psalm 139 and 2 says God understands us. Since he made us, he would be the one who best understands us. And in his holy writ, he tells us how to handle those situations of loss, those situations that come about that we no longer have control over. And sometimes it's a good thing to lose control. We become so self-absorbent because we think we have the answers. We can work it out ourselves, and we put God to the side. Many times we have to bring ourselves back to a place to understand that we don't have the answers. Only God does. God has the answer for whatever we need. Another important step in overcoming grief is to share it with others. When we internalize grief, it has a way of eating away, literally eating away our soul and who we are as a person. Our personality starts to leave. We become a different person. And usually to the negative. So to share it with others becomes extremely important. The body of Christ or his church is designed to ease the burdens of his individual members. We get that from Galatians 6 and 2. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, is designed to ease the burdens of its individual members. That is the design of the church, to ease our burdens. When we use each other and God using us to help each other through rough times. And fellow believers have the ability to mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12 and 5. We have the capacity to mourn with those who mourn. And there really is no more nobler task for us Christians than to mourn with one who is mourning. Because when we do that, we become the handmaidens of God. We become those people God is using to bring about relief and help to others. Often grieving a person tends to avoid others, increasing feelings of isolation and misery. But we do that to ourselves because God is an ever-present helper. Sometimes we isolate ourselves, and which is one of the worst things we can do. Never abandon God. We can work ourselves back into other people. But God should be our constant companion for leadership, for guidance. It becomes a matter of faith. Sometimes we pay lip service to how much we trust in the Lord. Sometimes we pay lip service to being guided by the Lord, and we still want to try to do it on our own. And usually those times become strenuous on you physically, emotionally, and mentally. Turn it over to the Lord and trust in him. It's much healthier to seek counseling, and group settings can be invaluable. Groups often they have listening ears and helpful encouragement. We are to encourage one another in all times. We're to celebrate one another with one another in times of triumph. But in times of burden, we need to celebrate with each other and not try to work it out ourselves. Take it to the Lord and take it to those that God has appointed to be with you. One amazing thing is that when we share our stories with God and with others, our grief lessens. When we share our stories with God and with others, our grief begins to dissipate. It becomes less and less an obstacle to us moving forward. Sadly, grief is part of the human experience. Just as happiness is a part of the human experience, so is grief. How you handle happiness and how you handle grief are all part of being a human being. And we have guidance in Scripture as to how we are to be joyful and what situations we're to be joyful. And other times when we are to be in mourning and grief and how we are to handle those situations. See, all we need is in Scripture and with each other. As long as we have God's Word and each other, we can make it through anything. Anything at all. Sadly, grief is part of human experience. Loss is a part of life, and natural response to loss is grief. But as a Christian, we have the hope of Christ, and we know that he is strong enough to carry our burdens. Having that knowledge that Christ is strong enough to carry our burdens should give us the impetus to turn it over, give it to the Lord. He has bigger shoulders. And sometimes it becomes a matter of faith. But as Christians, we have the hope that Christ will know that he's strong enough to carry those burdens in Matthew 11:30. We can give our hurt to him because he cares for us. Let's take that again. We can give our hurt to the Lord because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. We can find relief in the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our paraclete, one who walks beside us. John 14:16. The one who walks beside us, Holy Spirit, our comforter. See, we are never alone. Even when we choose to be alone, we may act as though we're alone, but as Christians, we have a company accompanying us. In grief, we cast our burdens upon him and we rely on the community of the church. Because we examine the truth of the word and ultimately experience hope. The truth of the word in the church. And ultimately we experience hope or seeing the future. Seeing the better part of the future. Hebrews 6:19-20. Let's read that. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. As we wait our appointed time for the grand rendezvous in heavenly realms, let us end our lesson today with a prayer. You'll join me. Heavenly Father, we know all our hurts. You know all our hurts. You know all our doubts. You know all our pains. And of course, all of our fears. We pray that our faith not fail us and that we wholly and sincerely trust in you as your will is done. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Number 192, let's be standing, please.
Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious entering? For me thy come, ye blessed, and thee I long of sin. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore?
Again, I would like to thank this congregation for the unfeigned love, the genuine love, the love that we felt to be very palpable in the way that you embraced and engrafted and adopted Catherine into this family. I remember on one occasion she became very ill and we were some 300 miles away, but there were members here in this congregation who served as surrogate parents for us and made sure her needs were being taken care of. The very appropriate sermon by Brother Smith about grief, because she's experiencing some grief. She wants to stay here, but I told her just keep trusting in the Lord, because he's promised to never leave us and never to forsake us. And she'll be continuing her studies there in Dallas at Baylor Scott & White. And as she studies there, we just want her most of all to stay focused on the Lord as she has been, because all of us can identify with that, because all of us are students. We are disciples. And we are working on a degree that's higher than a JD or PhD or an MD. We are waiting for a WD degree that Jesus will give out in that day. A degree that says, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things, come up higher, and I will make you rule over me. And again, for the way that you have embraced Catherine and this family, and the way you have seen after her and protected her, we just want to again say thank you. I'd like to now do the closing prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, this honor to come before your throne of grace. And we thank you for the one who made it all possible to come before your throne this morning, who is our mediator, who is our advocate, as well as our propitiator. He paid a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the things that we have done here this morning, that it has been both pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the love that emanates from one to another will continue to exist, so that people in the community, people that know us, will come to realize and to the conclusion that we are truly your disciples indeed. And Heavenly Father, you brought us here safely, and as we're about to part and go separate places, as we depart one from another, but never from your presence, our prayer is that you will continue to watch over us, guide and protect us until we meet again. It is in Jesus' name we ask these blessings and give these thanks. Amen.